If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 2. I don't know if you are a purist or not. I am. So you can't listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving. Some of you are like I am. And so after Thanksgiving, you can turn your attention to Christmas. And so I want to go to Luke chapter 2. It's great to have alumni here. I just saw Annie Gustafson up on the screen. You've had the Shepherd Girls teaching your Christian school. So we've had several alumni from Faith that have taught here. And we have current students. I see Daniel this morning, and I think Elena is here somewhere. But if you have any questions about Faith, talk to our students. I think they have they'll be able to fill you in, talk to alumni. And we have a table on the back. You can take anything except the yearbook. So, but it's good to be here, and I am always honored to be introduced as my dad's son. I think that is a great honor. And it is great to be back with my dad on Thanksgiving, and just so thankful for his investment in my life all through the years. Also appreciate your pastor. We serve on a board together, Baptist Mid-Missions, and we just saw each other down there, and he graciously gave me the opportunity to speak today, and I always appreciate that. I haven't spoken a lot because everything's been canceled, so if I'm a little rusty this morning, please forgive me. So let me ask this morning, how are you doing? How has 2020 been for you? Has 2020 caused any angst? Do you feel stressed this morning? If I asked this morning, and I don't want you to do this, but I said, how many of you raise your hand and say, you know, Dr. Jim, I just feel really peaceful today? One third of most churches would not answer that correctly. And probably in 2020, it's gotten larger. You know, as a college, I have a lot of pastors come in and speak in chapel. And every pastor I've had in for the last 7 months said it's unbelievable how our church is fighting over mask, no mask. People are leaving churches over mask, no mask. I think that shows a lack of peace. And I didn't come to cause trouble this morning. And your pastor has not told me if this has been an issue, so your pastor's not one of them I've talked to. But I can say there's a lot of discouraged pastors who said, I never saw this coming. I never thought the thing that would work our congregation up was whether we're going to wear a mask or not wear a mask. Whether it's every other pew or all the pews. Whether we cancel service or don't cancel service. And I just want you to think back to a year ago. How much has changed in 1 year? Well, a year ago, I'll just tell you the new words I've learned in the last year. I've learned the word COVID. I didn't know that word before last year. And then because of COVID, I learned the word Zoom. I thought Zoom was how fast I ran. Zoom is actually the technology we had to use when we had to shut our school down in 1 day. Came back from spring break, our governor said, starting tomorrow at noon, no groups over 10. Well, when you have a college, that means you have to shut down. And we had to go to Zoom. Derecho. Any of you ever heard of the word derecho before? It's an inland hurricane. That hit Iowa. 11 o'clock, it got so black that all the streetlights came on. 100-mile-an-hour straight wind. Took out the power to our entire campus, took sections of our bleachers, dumped them in the middle of our soccer field, took 8 of us to flip it back up. We couldn't put it back by ourselves. I've never seen a storm like that. Took down 15 trees on our campus. We had people that worked for us that had no power for a week. You could go down roads where every single telephone pole is snapped off. Never heard derecho, never heard of an inland hurricane before. A few weeks ago, we had a squall. You know what a squall is? A squall is when you get an amount of snow, but it just stops over your city. It dumps 7 inches of snow. That's what a squall is. Never heard squall before. My wife and I got COVID. We're good now, so you can shake our hands. We're good for three months anyway. Bell's palsy. I got diagnosed with Bell's palsy. Never heard that word before this year. If I was a smoker, that would have been helpful because you could really hold that thing in tight on the half of your face that doesn't open up. But You know, man, Bell's palsy. Not to mention Black Lives Matter, defunding the police, riots, pro sports being completely taken over by social agenda, presidential transition, financial economy of our country. And there's a lot to be concerned about, is there not, this morning? So in the midst of all of this, can you have peace? When there's a great reason for all of us to be concerned this morning. Good friends of ours up in Alberta went to plant in the spring, and it did not stop raining. Then they got to plant half their crops this year. That's for most of us taking a half a pay cut. Take your annual salary, cut it in half. Not any fault of their own. What about the wildfires? I mean, you're having states saying this is the largest wildfire they've ever had in their history. Happened this year. Louisiana, aren't you glad you live in Michigan? How many times did Louisiana get hit this year? And there's a lot of things that can get us worked up. And that's why it's great to come to this text. And if you're here in Luke 2, I want to speak this morning on a peaceful Christmas. A peaceful Christmas. If you're here in verse 1, it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, and the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came up upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Let's open in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing gift. God, we're thankful that in the midst of 2020, we can have peace. But God, you're very clear that it comes from one source. And God, I pray that we would have our hearts open this morning. And God, if you speak to our hearts, I pray that we would respond. God, if we admit this morning that we are worked up, maybe there's some this morning that are angry. Maybe there's some that are stressed. Maybe there are just some that are overwhelmed. God, for whatever is going on in the hearts and lives of your people this morning, God, draw us back to the truth of this text. And God, help us to recognize the source of peace. And God, may we have that peace that passeth understanding. God, do the work that you want to do in our hearts and lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By all accounts, for many people, 2020 has been a rough year. Most of us can't remember back in the 60s, the riots that were taking place across campuses. And for us, this has been the first time. And you look at what's going on in a lot of our inner cities. By the way, they want the police in the inner city. amazing as we've had speakers come in from inner city Minneapolis, inner city New York City, and the stories that they've told in chapel and things that they've shared with Joan and I privately. And I would just challenge you, as rough as 2020 is, it pales in comparison to what's going on in chapter 2 in Bethlehem. The Roman Empire is in total control, and they require a census to be taken. Joseph and Mary must travel, even though she's great with child. By the way, think back, those of you that have had children, remember your first one? I mean, one thing they tell you not to do when you're great with child, when you're within a few weeks of having a baby, what's the one thing they tell you not to do? Don't travel, right? They tell you don't travel. And then if it's your first one and you're the dad, I mean, I remember when our first one, I had pagers. Remember pagers? And so the hospital gave us a pager, and the deal is if Joan is going into labor, she's going to page me. And I work construction, and man, I'm checking that thing all day long. I mean, it's close. And then you got everything packed, you're ready to go. And I mean, you have that first baby, you want everything to go perfect. And here they are about to have their first child, and the Roman government doesn't care. The Roman government says, there's a census being taken, I don't care if you're great with child, you're going to show up, and you're not going to vote by mail-in ballot. You're going to be there in person. And so here is this Mary and Joseph, their first child, and this isn't just any child, right? They already have been told by an angel who this baby is going to be. They know this is the Son of God. But they're forced to take this trip. They arrive in Bethlehem, and as they arrive, for whatever reason, they arrive late, and the entire city's overwhelmed. Because everyone has to go for a census, and you have to show up in person. Back then, they had 100% participation. Because you had a dictatorial government that would kill you if you didn't show up. It really incentivized you to show up. And 100%, I mean, you look at the record turnout we just had, it still wasn't 100%. Could you imagine when 100% of people have to show up? And so they show up, and then the city is absolutely overwhelmed. And they show up and they knock at the inn. And you know Joseph wants a room for his wife. She's about to have a baby. And he's told, I'm sorry, there are no rooms. I'm sorry, but sir, my wife is pregnant. She's about to have a baby. I'm sorry, we have no rooms. We do have a barn. It's all right if you use the barn. You know that in Joseph's heart of hearts, because he's a good man, the Bible tells us that in Matthew. He is a just man. He's a good man. This is not where he wants his wife to have a baby. Every dad in this room knows what I'm talking about. Man, we had that first one. We took the hospital tour. You ever do that? You want to see, you want to make sure everything's perfect. You have the car gassed up. I mean, you're ready to roll. You got everything ready. Why? We're about to have a baby. And you know how Joseph is feeling. He's feeling like probably a total loser as a husband. Man, why didn't I think this through? Why didn't we get here sooner? But they show up, and there's no place except a barn. And that's where they're going to have the baby, and that's where they have the baby. You know, we think of this idyllic nativity scene in a manger, but a manger is a feeding trough of an animal. And remember the leadership. Herod the Great is in charge. And is Herod the Great a good guy? Is this a good leader? Now, you remember Herod the Great, when he finds out that Jesus is born, what does he say? Kill all the male children 2 years and younger, and they do. You struggle with this election, I want to challenge you, it's nothing compared to this, what's going on here. And could you imagine being under a dictator who has the authority to kill every male child in America? That's the world that Jesus Christ is born into. That's the world that here are poor Mary and Joseph with their first child, and they know it's a Son of God. They show up to a city overwhelmed, and now they're going to have this baby born in a barn. On top of this, Herod's son becomes the next leader in this area. And remember what he does? He beheads John the Baptist. and he crucifies Jesus Christ. And it's against this backdrop that we come and hear this amazing declaration from the angels in verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Can I challenge you this morning? If you could have peace in this era, you and I can have peace in 2020. But some of us came in this morning and said, I'm not sure that's possible in 2020. Well, if it's possible here, were the angels just saying crazy statements? Do you think when the angels declared that you can have peace, goodwill, was that really possible, or were they just throwing things out there? I think they were saying, even in this backdrop, but there's a key. There's a key that you all need to unlock peace. Like diamonds in a black velvet backdrop to make the diamonds really stand out. Have you ever been to a jeweler and they do that? It's always black velvet on the background. They put those diamonds, that gold, why it really shows up against the black backdrop. You know what? When things are really dark, that's when Christ really stands out. And that's not bad. Some of us have needed 2020 to get our attention back where it needs to be. But against this dark backdrop, this amazing declaration of peace stands out and has great relevance to our current backdrop of 2020. Peace, like joy, is something that everyone wants, yet too few have. Many would like to know the peace of God in their marriage. Others would like peace at work or be at peace with their children or children at peace with their parents. Some just want peace at church. We hear a lot about world peace. Yet in our text, the angels announce peace on earth. What in the world were they talking about? How can we have the peace the angels are challenging these shepherds with? Some of us have been to Israel, and we've been in the caves that date to the time of Christ. And one of my favorite things is to get in there and sing Christmas carols as you overlook a shepherd's field. And you stand in that cave, and you got the great acoustics, and you sing, "Hark the herald angels sing." And as these angels came down and said, you know what, as we come here, this great announcement, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Why is that possible? Well, there's three ways you can have peace. There's three ways God wants you to have peace this morning. The first is peace with God. You know, that's the whole point of this story. And it's really the key to peace. You must know Jesus Christ. He is the key to peace. The Bible describes him as the Prince of Peace. And if you're going to have peace, you won't have it without Christ. No matter how wealthy you are, your wealth doesn't protect you all the time, right? If you have a lot of wealth, you have a lot of things to worry about. The only way that you can truly have peace is know Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ coming and living a perfect life and dying on a cross to pay for our sins, Christmas and Easter, it'd be impossible to have peace with God. Take your Bible and go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 1. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." This is who we are naturally. We are naturally sinners. We are naturally at enmity and an enemy of God. So how does that get reconciled? How do we get peace with God? There's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. He's the only way that you and I can be at peace with God. And you won't have the other two pieces. Let me tell you, you need peace with God, you need peace with others, and you need peace of mind. But all three of those hinge on the first one. Do you have peace with God this morning? Are you at peace with God, or are you at war with God this morning? Are you mad at God this morning? You mad at God that things aren't working out the way you wanted them to? Or are you at peace with God? You know what? I'm okay. If you know the story of Job, Job loses everything in chapter 1. And at the end he says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Chapter 2, he gets a terrible health condition. And again, the Bible says he does not sin with his lips. Amazing. Most of us have not lost what Job has lost. On top of this, all 10 of his children are dead. But chapter 23, Job says, "Oh, I want a conversation with you, God. Oh, that I knew where I could find you. You would answer me. I want an explanation." And if you know the story, God comes down, chapter 38, and roughly asks him, depends on how you count, but 60 to 64 questions. "Job, where were you when I hung the world in space?" And I love how God says it. "Surely you know." I think that's God being sarcastic. And basically, God says, "If you can answer any of these, I'll explain myself." And Job says, "I can't answer these." And God says, "I'm not explaining myself." And some of you are mad at God this morning because he won't explain himself. And I want to challenge you this morning. Learn what Job learned. He didn't need an explanation. He needed a revelation. Where, how come no two snowflakes are the same? Who gave Leviathan his strength? God reminded Job of how awesome he was, and then Job said, "I'm good." Do you have peace with God this morning? God describes our condition here in these first four verses, but what a great transition in verse 4. "But God." "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Are you a Christian this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, then you are at peace with God. You at least have peace with God. And the number one wrong answer is, "I'm a good person." That doesn't get you into heaven. Being a Baptist does not get you into heaven. Giving money does not get you into heaven. There's only one way that you can have peace with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus says in the New Testament, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Do you know Jesus Christ personally? You know what I find? A lot of people want God's stuff. Sort of like a couple that gets married, and could you imagine doing the wedding, and she says, "Well, you know, I say for richer, for poor, in sickness and health do you so swear," and they both say, "I do," and then that bride looks at me and goes, "You mean I got to go home with him?" I say, "Of course you do. What were you doing this for?" "Well, have you seen he drives a Ford? It's awesome. Stainless steel appliances. He has a great bank account." "Well, that's great, but what about him? I don't want him. I just want his stuff." That's how a lot of people are with God. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't want to go to church. But I do want good health. I do want a good job. I want a nice car. I want a nice house. I want good kids. "God, just give me all your stuff." And God says, "No, you need me." He's the key to peace this morning. In fact, I challenge you, you won't find peace like this apart from Jesus Christ. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you really have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and if you're right with him, then you'll be reading this. Are you in this book? If not, why not? Number one reason, we're busy. Let me challenge you, if we all get busy, and busyness hurts your marriage relationships, it also hurts your relationship with God this morning. Skip down, if you would, in the same text. Go down to verse 12. "At that time you're without Christ." What is it like when you're not at peace with God? You're without Christ. "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our," what's the word? "He is our peace. Who hath both won and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace." Are you seeing a theme here? "He came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." The Bible says that without Jesus Christ, we're all sinners. And And because you're a sinner, someone has to pay for your sin. And without Jesus Christ, you would have to pay for your sin. But Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He was born. That's what the angels are excited about. They know that he's the Savior. Go back, if you would, to our text in Luke chapter 2. The angel who shows up and makes the announcement in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The angels know what's happening here. The angels know you're going to have peace because Jesus Christ is here. And we know who he is. And he's going to live and he's going to die on a cross to pay for your sins so that you can have peace with God. And you can be described as a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Amazing statement. But are you thankful that you can have peace with God this morning? I'm kind of a fan of old westerns. You ever see those old westerns? Say, you need to go and make your peace with God. Or are you prepared to meet your Maker? That's a good question, are you? You just had a funeral here yesterday. Very unexpected. I was here a year and a half ago when my mom passed away. Very unexpected. 2 weeks ago, I went to the funeral of an 18-year-old who committed suicide. Who, for whatever reason, that morning decided he had nothing to live for. Very good friends with his parents. I was there on a Tuesday. On Saturday, we did a funeral for one of our employees that had retired a year ago. Hadn't even retired a year yet and developed a brain cancer that took his life. But you know what? If you're at peace with God, like my mom, like this lady who passed away, like Irv Van Hooser, I even believe the teenager was a believer. When you have that peace, then you know that it's okay. It doesn't mean it's not hard. Those of us who've lost a loved one, you know how hard that is. But there's a comfort that I'll see him again. Because they made peace with God. And have you made peace with God this morning? Do you know for sure if you were to die, you'd wake up in heaven? Do you know for sure that your sins are covered? There's only one way, and this has nothing to do with the this is not a Baptist book, Catholic book, Lutheran book. This is just God's word. Have you ever had someone take the Bible and show you from a Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? That's how you can have peace with God this morning. The whole point of Christ's birth is that he is the only way we can have peace with God. God hates sin, and Jesus came on the earth to be born of a virgin to pay for our sins and to reconcile us to God. Just take your Bible and go over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you at peace with God this morning? That's number one. That's what the angels are talking about. He's born to be a Savior. We see that in Matthew 2. As Matthew gives the account of Christ's birth, he says he's born to be a Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. Are you at peace with God this morning? Number two, are you at peace with men? Once you've made peace with God, the Holy Spirit begins to work in your heart. Galatians 5:22 describes the fruit of the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit starts doing in you after you're a Christian. And that fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. What's the next one? Peace. What's the next one? Long-suffering. I would say that's my issue with mask, no mask. We're not very long-suffering. If you're going to leave a church, and again, if I'm walking into territory, I'm just telling you, I have not had a conversation with your pastor, but can I just say, when you leave a church over whether you wear a mask or not, that's not necessarily long-suffering. Is church about me, or is it about coming to serve? And I think the sad part is it's revealed where a lot of churches are. And I don't like wearing a mask. I hate it. But if my authority says I have to wear a mask, then I'm going to put a mask on. And again, there's a difference between mask and religious freedom. I think we have to separate those two things. But regardless, can I disagree in an agreeable way? You know, probably you're not all Minnesota Viking fans in this room, and I'm sorry about that. That's really sad. But even though you're not a Viking fan, we can probably still fellowship. Well, I hope we can anyway. Hey, isn't there lots of areas we disagree on and do it agreeably? I'm not sure for the same sports teams. We can all give each other a hard time in a good way, in a fun way, and we're not losing our minds over each other with those things. By the way, who wants to destroy peace in the church? Do we have an enemy? He's a liar and a murderer, and he hates a unified church. Why? Because the Bible says the best testimony to lost people is, by this will all men know you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another. And we lose our testimony to the lost when we're in church and we're not loving to each other. And Satan hates that. And maybe he found the key in COVID. Hey, this is what can split churches up. This is what can get people to go at odds against each other. But the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. God gives clear instructions in his word. Go over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Look what he says in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. My wife used to have this phrase when our kids were fighting. She would say this, pursue after peace. My kids all could recite this. They heard this all the time, pursue after peace, pursue after peace. You know, that's a Bible thing. God says you and I need to pursue after peace. Look what he says in Colossians chapter 3. Well, before we go there, go to Romans 14. Oh, you're here. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 12 to 15. The Bible says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Hebrews 12 tells us, beware of bitterness that spring up trouble you and many get defiled. Bitterness is harbored hurt. You know that we're always going to get hurt. If you're married this morning, you're going to get hurt by your spouse. It's going to happen. If you go to church, you're going to get hurt. People are going to do things that hurt your feelings in church. If you have kids, your kids are going to hurt you. Kids, parents are going to hurt you. Why? It just happens in relationships, and that's why God says the key is to forgive. Bitterness is a sneaky sin. It can sneak up on you, and if you're not careful, it will ruin you. Someone said, it's not what you eat, it's what eats you that's often the problem. Another person said, bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Are you at peace in your relationships this morning? You can. And some of you are going, Dr. Jim, you don't know what I'm dealing with. By the way, have you noticed that forgiveness is a great concept till you have to do it? I mean, forgiveness is awesome till I have to do it. And if I want you to forgive me, but man, for me to forgive you, that's kind of different. And God comes and he says, if you won't forgive, I can't forgive you. Remember the story he tells in Matthew? A guy owes 8 countries worth of debt. And he comes to the king and he says, be patient with me till I can pay you all. Now think that through. 8 countries worth of debt. This guy in his whole lifetime can't pay 8 countries worth of debt back. But that's what he says to the king. Be patient till I can pay you all. He can't pay it all back. You remember the story? The king says, I forgive you. And he walks out and he meets a guy roughly that owes him about $400. And the guy says, be patient with me until I can pay you all. And something in his little brain should have gone off and said, where did I hear that before? Because it's literally word for word in the text. Where did I? Oh yeah, that was me. And do you remember what he says to that guy? Take him away to the tormentor so he pays me my $400. And the servants go to the king and go, hey king, remember that guy you forgave 8 countries worth of debt? He just threw a guy in prison for $400. And the king's like, you're kidding me. By the way, that's not all in the Greek, but you're kidding me. Bring that guy back in here. And they bring the guy back in. He goes, I am sure I heard this wrong. I mean, there's no way this is really true. But I just heard this crazy story. I just heard that I forgave you 8 countries worth of debt. And I heard that you met a guy that owes you $400 and you threw him in prison. Now, that isn't true, is it? And the guy's like, yeah, I did that. And the king says, well, then take this guy away till he can pay me all, which is never going to happen. What's the point? God says, if I can forgive you, then you need to be forgiving others. How many times have you sinned against God? I did this in our college. I said, how many of you think I've sinned 100 times? They all put their hand up. 500 times, they all put their hand up. 1,000 times, they all put their hand up. I said, you're starting to hurt my feelings. But anyway, you all know your own life. How many times have you sinned against? How many of you asked God to forgive you for the same thing? Me and one friend back here, all right? The two of us agree. Aren't you glad? How many times does God say he will forgive? It's an awesome truth. Every single time you ask, God says, I'll forgive. You know how often you should forgive each other? Every. If you're here in the text, God says, I want you to forgive others as Christ forgave you. Some of you came in this morning and you're ticked off. Some of your marriage is not healthy. 2 times he says to husbands, husbands, love your wife and be not bitter against them. There's no verse like that to women. Seems like men have a hard time forgiving. Some of you guys, you can't remember where you put your car keys and you're holding something against your wife she did 5 years ago. That's dumb. And the Bible says it's time to forgive. Some of you are mad at something your kids did. Some of you are mad at something your parents did. You need to forgive. I didn't tell you that. Are you going to have peace or not? Because I promise you this morning, no matter who it is, you may be bitter at Joe over here. The Bible says that bitterness troubles you and many get defiled. Who are the people who get defiled? The closest people to you. You're not mad and bitter at them, but because you're mad and bitter at this person over here, you're troubled and it affects the closest people to you. And that's going to ruin peace. And it's going to ruin peace not just for you, it's going to ruin peace for the people around you. And it's always the yeah but, right? Well, yeah but, if I forgive him, he's going to get away with it. No, he won't. God says vengeance is whose? Vengeance is mine, I will repay. God says let me take care of it, but I want you to forgive. And some of you have been walking around with bitterness and anger in your heart, and it's not peaceful. Some of you are angry over Wayne County. I can understand that, but it'll ruin you. You stay bitter and angry over an election, it'll ruin you. It doesn't mean we do what we can, but it does mean we don't stay bitter and angry. Are you with me this morning? Do you understand that's what the Bible says? We'll say, but it's wrong. Do you realize that that's the only time you have to forgive? The only time you have to forgive is when you get ripped off. You only have to forgive when it's wrong. You can, but it's not fair. Exactly. That's why you have to forgive. But if you refuse to forgive, you will ruin peace. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. I always tell people you're going to live in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 or 32. It'll be your choice. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Anger and bitterness are the enemies of peace. You'll not have peace while you carry that around. Maybe some of you need to make peace with your family this morning. Maybe you need to make peace with a coworker. And I would challenge you, you can't do this if you're not at peace with God. You got to start there. But once you have peace with God, He does something in your heart that helps you make peace with those around you. Some of you say, Dr. Jim, if I do that, it'll kill me. Well, aren't you glad that Jesus Christ went to the cross for you? You know what? When He forgave you, it did kill Him. Literally. And God says, if I can die on a cross for you, there are 7 sayings from the cross. They're all powerful. But do you remember this one? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You can forgive those who've hurt you. And if you don't, you will not have a peaceful Christmas. But God says, you can have it. I want you to have it. I would just finish. You are 100% responsible for your 10% of the problem. You know, sometimes they say, well, yeah, but they're 90% wrong. Well, don't worry about their 90%. What about your 10%? At a large church in Canada, I had a lady come in who has absolutely, and this is no joke, absolutely ripped at me because I did not shake her hand. I mean, in a large church, you can't possibly shake everyone's hand every Sunday. And I can just tell you, I never had a do not shake hand list. I have a little secret code in my Bible that says, I'm not shaking so-and-so's hand. I never had that. And so when she comes in and she has smoked at me, you know what I want to do? I want to defend myself. Is that what was needed? You know what I did? Only by God's grace, because that's not how I felt on the inside. But you know what I said? You know what? I'm sorry. And by the way, if I was only going to shake one hand next Sunday, guess whose it was going to be? And she saw me coming. I mean, I had to wade through people to get to her. And she saw me coming and she started laughing because she realized, okay, Dr. Jim is still going to shake my hand. Hey, I'm 100% responsible for my 10% of the issue. Are you willing to forgive this morning? And lastly, peace of mind. If I asked how many are stressed or worried about something this morning, in the average group of people, 1/3 or higher would put their hand up. However, because of Christmas and Easter, Christ's birth and death can help us have a peace of mind. Look over in John 16, if you would. John chapter 16, verse 32 and 33. Jesus speaking, behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what? Peace. Do you realize God wants you to have peace this morning? Even in 2020? He wants you to have peace. He doesn't want the election, protests, financial uncertainty, COVID. He doesn't want these things to take away your peace. He wants to be the source of peace. He wants to be the Prince of Peace. And you've got to come to Him and you've got to do it His way and say, okay, I'm right with you. I'm going to work at being right with others, and then I need peace of mind. That in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Take your Bible and go over to Philippians chapter 4 as we finish this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Be careful, or the idea here is in verse 6. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the what? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let me challenge you. As I went to that funeral of an 18-year-old teenager, who for whatever reason woke up that day and decided he had nothing more to live for. I challenge you, you can have a peace of mind. And that teenager made a permanent solution to a temporary problem. The problems in his 18-year-old life could have been worked out, but he didn't give God a chance to do that. As I work with young people, my greatest burden, and young people have a lot of challenges. COVID has stressed a lot of people. We had the shortest semester in the history of faith. It's put a lot of pressure. We had to quarantine our campus for a week. And we had a lot of challenges. And then we had a lot of kids who go in and out of quarantine because they get exposed to someone, quarantine, come out, get exposed to someone, quarantine. I had some students get it 3 times and never got sick. Now, is that frustrating? Can that mess with your peace? It can. But what do you have to do in those moments? I got to keep coming back to Christ. And can I get anxious about what's going to happen in the future? I can. But what does this text tell me? Be careful or anxious for nothing. So what am I to do? Pray with thankfulness? How thankful are you this morning? In 2020, in spite of 2020, are there still things to be thankful for? 5 of us think so. That's great. And my daughter graduated from college this year. She got married this year. I got over Bell's palsy in 4 weeks. That's a miracle in itself. Praise God. There's all kinds of things, if you look for them, to be thankful for. And when we stop being thankful, we lose our peace. And we certainly lose peace of mind. And the text says, pray with thankfulness, think on the right things, obey what you know is right, and you can have a peace that passeth understanding. It seems kind of simple, but it's biblical. You want peace of mind, you don't want to be stressed out, you don't want to be anxious, then the Bible says, pray with thankfulness, think on the right things. Often when we get stressed, we're thinking all the what ifs. And God says, don't worry about the what ifs. There's enough challenges for today. Just worry about today. Don't worry about the what ifs. Think on what you know to be true. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. And then do what you know is right. And if you obey God, if you just do what you know is right, you can have a peace of mind. Prayer, someone said, is a reality check. Am I coming to the God who I know loves me, who will wisely do what is best, and I know wants to give me grace to help in time of need? And prayer is a surrender check. Am I willing to come to God on His terms, confessing my sin and surrendering my desires? This has been a rough year. I don't think anyone in this room could say it hasn't been. It's been a challenge. But I hope this text drives us back to the fact that you and I can have peace. Think back to this amazing declaration of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. In a backdrop that was much darker than 2020. In the backdrop of a leader that's going to execute all male children 2 years and under, and it's carried out. Where a pregnant lady who's about to have a baby is forced to travel because Rome doesn't care. We're having a census and you're showing up. And she's going to have their first child in a barn. In that backdrop, angels show up and say, you know what? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You and I can have peace this morning, but you have to have it God's way. Are you at peace with God? Number one. Number two, are you at peace with others? Is there someone you're angry at this morning? Is there someone you're bitter at? Man, this is a wonderful time of year to make things right. And maybe you need to go home today and get alone with your spouse. Maybe you need to make a phone call and say, you know what, I've been carrying this anger, but I'm done. I forgive you. I'm done. I'm not carrying this around anymore. Maybe it's just you and God that need to get alone and say, God, I got to forgive this person. I've met people that are mad at someone who's already dead. I was a police chaplain, and I showed up at a suicide. I'm standing between two people trying to hit each other, and really, they just hit me. You know what they're mad at? They're mad at the person who committed suicide. And I'll never forget this. This lady said, I want to go and dance on his grave. I don't know if I've met anyone that bitter. That person's already gone. But it's ruining this life. It's not what you eat, it's what eats you that's often the problem. Do you need to make some? Do you need peace with men this morning? Have you gotten pretty crabby over COVID? Is there someone in the church you just say, you know what, I got way too crabby over COVID. I'm sorry. I don't know who it is this morning, but God challenges you. Are you at peace with each other? And lastly, do you have peace of mind? You can have a peaceful Christmas this morning, but you got to do it God's way. Pray with thankfulness, think on the right things, and do what you know is right. There was a song that was written based on Mark 4, verses 37 to 39. When a storm comes up, Jesus is asleep in the boat. And the disciples, these are, by the way, you know they're mostly fishermen. They're convinced they're going down. They're not going to make it. And they wake Jesus up, and Jesus says, if you remember this, peace, be still. And the storm stops. And the song was, Master, the tempest is raging. And I'll close with this. These are the words to this song. Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment is so madly as threatening, a grave and the angry deep. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea or demons or men or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Master, with anguish of spirit I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anger sweep over my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Let me challenge you this morning. You can have a peaceful Christmas if you have peace with God, peace with others, and peace of mind. And Jesus Christ came to give you all three. That's the reason Christ was born. We should be the most joyful, peaceful people in 2020 so that people can't wait to find out how are we doing it. How are you so peaceful in 2020? Well, let me tell you. Joan and I are having amazing opportunities to witness to our unsaved neighbors. Amazing. You think people without Christ are concerned right now? Some of them are terrified. What a privilege to show them the Prince of Peace. Let's close in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word. I pray you'd help all of us to have the peace that you offer. God, what a sad thing to have this peace available to every Christian in the room and for us not to have this. And God, we know that it's not easy, that it's going to take some effort and work on our part. But God, in the midst of things going wrong, in the midst of things unplanned, Lord, help every Christian in the room to have a peace that passeth understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.